Hello, family of God, and welcome to Easter Sunday 2023. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio, glad to celebrate with you that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And today I would like to remind ourselves, perhaps in a different way than we have thought before, that this was not the miracle we were looking for. I say we, to place ourselves in the story with the disciples, with Mary his mother, and the women who went to anoint his crucified body in the tomb, with the Jewish people, Jesus's people, the nation of Israel who were suffering under Roman rule. On Palm Sunday, we considered how Jesus was born to be king. The angel promised Mary at his conception. The Magi from the east came with gifts to worship the newborn king of the Jews. The disciples angled for positions of leadership in the coming order. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, he signaled all of Jerusalem that he was making his move as Messiah, anointed one, deliverer, a king coming in peace. The crowds called for salvation from the cruelty of Roman rule, where the peace of Rome, Pax Romana, was enforced with public lynchings on the roads as a clear message to would-be revolutionaries. In Diana Butler Bass's blog, she says, "Not until recently did I realize that I didn't actually know what Hosanna meant. I'd always assumed it was a synonym for Alleluia, an expression of praise. But Hosanna and Alleluia are not the same. Hosanna is a transliteration of the Hebrew term Hosanah, meaning, oh, save now, or please save. The crowd at the procession wasn't shouting praises to Jesus. The crowd was begging Jesus to save them." In their book, The Last Week, John Dominic Cresson and Marcus Borg write, "Two processions entered Jerusalem on a spring day in the year 30. One was a peasant procession, the other an imperial procession. From the east, Jesus rode a donkey down the Mount of Olives, cheered by his followers. On the opposite side of the city from the west, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, entered Jerusalem at the head of a column of imperial cavalry and soldiers. Jesus' procession proclaimed the kingdom of God. Pilate's proclaimed the power of empire." The people were looking for salvation from empire, and the symbolism of Passover was obvious. Moses delivered Israel from the power of the Egyptian Empire. Jews from all over the world came to Jerusalem to observe the festival of their origin story, the Exodus, freedom from bondage. 10 plagues on the Romans to drive them out of the land would be welcomed. Moses had a staff, not a sword, with which the Egyptians were defeated. The time was ripe for a new Exodus, a remaking of the story wherein God empowers his Messiah to cause the Exodus of the Romans from Israel. That is the miracle we are looking for. On Friday night, I was invited to a Shabbat Seder that was not at all traditional. It made space for our individual stories of freedom. The Exodus resonates with our need for deliverance. The bitter herbs, the tears, the symbolism of the egg. I had spent the afternoon with the sermons of 7 black preachers on the meaning of Jesus' last words. The desire for deliverance, for freedom from oppression, resonates especially strongly with our black brothers and sisters. Both Jesus' arrest, trial, and execution, all hopes were dashed. It was like when Moses and Aaron asked Pharaoh to let the people go to hold a festival in the desert. Exodus 5, 2, 6 through 9. But Pharaoh said, "Who is this Lord who I'm supposed to obey by letting Israel go? I don't know this Lord, and I certainly won't let Israel go." On the very same day, Pharaoh commanded the people's slave masters and supervisors, "Don't supply the people with straw they need to make bricks like you did before. Let them go out and gather the straw for themselves, but still make sure that they produce the same number of bricks as they made before. Don't reduce the number. They are weak and lazy, and that's why they cry, 'Let's go and offer sacrifices to our God.' Make the men's work so hard that it's all they can do, and they can't focus on these empty lies." With Jesus' death, it was like Moses had been killed by Pharaoh instead of delivering the people. It was as if Pharaoh's army had pursued them and trapped them at the Reed Sea, and instead of God opening up a path of dry land for the children of Israel to walk across, the army had killed Moses and returned the people to slavery. When the women went to the tomb, they expected to find a dead body that they could anoint and grieve. In Luke 24, 3 through 11, "But when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know what to make of this. Suddenly, two men were standing beside them in gleaming white clothing. The women were frightened and bowed their faces toward the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but has been raised. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee? That the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again.' Then they remembered his words. When they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women." It didn't matter how many times Jesus had told his disciples that he would be handed over to the Gentiles and killed, and that God would raise him up again. It was nonsense. It made no sense. Scientists say that much of our hearing is based on what we expect to hear. When people say things we don't expect, we can't hear them because we can't make sense of the words. Though rabbis had studied the scriptures for years and had identified where the Messiah was to be born, in Bethlehem, as they told Herod and the Magi from the east, the interpretation that God would allow him to be killed and then raise him from the dead was not what they were expecting. As two of his followers explained to a traveler who seemed unaware in Luke 24, 21 to 24, "We had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago, but there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who told them he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women said. They didn't see him." So if this is not the miracle we were looking for, if salvation from the Roman Empire is not what Jesus delivered, what is the salvation that God provided through this Messiah? In American Christianity, we have been taught about an individual salvation from our individual sins, our ticket into heaven if we believe the right thing and say the right words, everyone else be damned. A doctrine that seems to make God's saving work much smaller than what people expected. Instead of the salvation of a chosen nation, God would only save a few chosen souls with right doctrine and personal repentance? But God was doing something much bigger through the raising of Jesus from the dead, not smaller. Though perhaps because we don't expect it, because it isn't the miracle we were looking for, we still don't recognize it. What can be bigger than saving the children of Israel from empire, from reenacting the Exodus with an ousting of the oppressors? How does the crucifixion of the King of the Jews and redeeming him from death produce the salvation of the world? In Luke 24, verses 44 to 47, Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you when I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written. The anointed one will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and a change of heart and life for the forgiveness of sins must be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." All nations. The prophets were primarily sent to Israel. Jesus of Nazareth was the King of the Jews. And what God accomplished in raising him from the dead was to proclaim a much bigger message to all peoples, that we are all called to change our hearts and lives to be more like the heart and life of Jesus, who healed the sick, fed the hungry, proclaimed good news to the poor and freedom to the captives. This is the work we have been given, with the promise that we need not fear death any longer. We can boldly work for the repair of the world, knowing that death is not the end. As the poet Bob Dylan sang, "When you're sad and when you're lonely and you haven't got a friend, just remember that death is not the end. And all that you've held sacred falls down and does not mend, just remember that death is not the end." God so loved the world that through this Jewish Messiah, if we believe, we too can participate in the life that is eternal. That God cares to save not just one chosen nation, but that beginning in Jerusalem with that nation, the world might be saved through his only begotten Son. I think today we resonate with Jesus' followers who wanted, at first, at that time, a much different kind of salvation. Now, from the regime and institutions and evil and suffering and injustice, it is as hard for us to understand what God is doing in allowing the evil empire to flourish as it was then. Not long after Jesus' death and resurrection, the fears of the chief priests came to pass. Rome destroyed and looted the temple. What we see in the headlines does not look like the salvation we wanted either. So what is the good news? Today, I'd like to emphasize three things. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus came near and spoke to them. "I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you." First, that Jesus is teaching. His way of living is for everyone who wants it. Perhaps you are carrying on the work of healing the sick, in body, in mind, in spirit. Perhaps you have been gifted to feed those around you who are hungry. Perhaps you are empowered to teach the way of serving others, of generosity, of unselfishness. Maybe you take children in your arms and bless them. All the work that Jesus did, what he began, he has passed on to us. that together we might do the work of God's kingdom and repairing the world. Second, to save us from the power and the fear of death. In Hebrews 2:14-15, he did this to destroy the one who holds the power over death, the devil, by dying. He set free those who were held in slavery their entire lives by their fear of death. And thirdly, that Jesus himself is somehow miraculously with us every day until the end of this present age. The miracle is in the presence of the risen Lord. Prior to his death, Jesus could only be in one place at a time, like all of us humans. He was constrained by his physical body. Jesus' resurrected body has no such constraints of place and time. In Matthew 28, verse 20, "Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age." This is a miracle that we experience in our hearts, the personal manifestation and presence that is hard to describe. Like, God is present in the created world, the universe, the awesome infinity beyond our imagination. And Jesus is present in the most personal way, truly with us as he promised, if we ask, suffering with us, teaching us, walking with us every day. Disciples in all nations, freedom from fear of death. Jesus' presence with us daily. Traditionally at New Covenant, we conclude our teachings with an invitation to communion. This is the representation of the Passover Seder meal that Jesus celebrated last with his disciples. This table is a reminder of liberation, of salvation from oppression. It is a symbol of the promise of freedom. The unleavened bread reminds us of the journey. We too are on a journey. The cup reminds us of the covenants that God keeps making with God's people, the commitment to life triumphing over death. Jesus invites us to join him at the table, to taste the promise of God's continuing liberation in our lives, even beyond death. May we go forth to live as Jesus lived, not fearing death, knowing that Jesus himself is with us until the end of the age.